When all else fails, chant Hare Krishna. And all else will fail, because everything else is incompatible with our nature. Without the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no hope of rest for the living entity. So, to inspire us to chant the holy name, and this is a practice. It's mentioned in the Brahma Samhita, as we just heard, in the instructions that the Lord gave to Brahma in the end of Brahma Samhita, that one must have perseverance and practice. And one, this is abhyas. One must also practice sadachar, which is good behavior. Actually, Prabhupada has said that this achar, this how we act, the acharya is one who practices good achar. It means somebody who's going to teach. You have to act in that way. There's no potency if you say, don't smoke, and then you go outside and smoke. Everyone will say, ha, 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 it's just philosophical. It doesn't mean anything. And if one practices carefully, then there's a certain quality to one's words. And there's a subtlety to this science, if someone's actually practicing carefully. And Krishna notices also, if we take care to practice diligently and we make the endeavor and by degrees we improve, then Krishna will give us inspiration and more realization as we go forward. So, pramanais tat saracharais tat abhyasa indarantaram means these three things. Pramanais means evidence from Shastra. When we hear from the scripture about the importance of chanting the holy name, and we hear from sadhus, we hear from guru, then also we'll be fortified when we chant. So to hear the shikshashtakam and also hear the verses by Rupa Goswami called Namashtakam, which we're going to do now, in the blue book you can turn to the blue tab, like this. And you'll find the Namashtakam by Rupa Goswami. I'll sing out the Sanskrit, and then line by line, please repeat, and then we'll read the translation together. Nikila Shruti Mali Ratnamala Dyuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta Ai mukta kaleru pasyamanam paritosta marinama sankshayami. Translation together. O Harinam, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. You are eternally adored by liberated souls like Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinam, I take complete shelter of you. Jayana Madhya Munivrindageya He. Janaranjanaya Paramaksharakrite. Tomanadaradapi Managudiritam. Nikilogratapa Patalimbalumpasi. Nikilogratapa patalimbalumpasi. Nikilogratapa patalimbalumpasi. O Harinam, all glories to you, sung by all the sages. You are the supreme combination of syllables, and you bring transcendental bliss to everyone. If a person utters you but once, even disrespectfully, still you relieve his many extreme sufferings. Yada baso pyadyan kavalita bhava dvanta vibhavo. Drisham tatvandhanam apidishati bhakti pranayanim. Janas tasyo dhatam jagati bhagavan nama tarane. Kriti te nirvaktum ka iha mahimanam prabhavati. Kriti te nirvaktum ka iha mahimanam prabhavati. O son of the holy name, even a dim glimmer of your splendor swallows the powerful darkness of materialistic life and gives those who are blind to the truth the vision to follow the path of pure devotional service. Who in this world, even if learned and pious, can fully describe your transcendental glories? Yad Brahma Sakshat Kriti Nishchayapi Vinashamayati Vinana Pogai Apaiti Namaspuranena Tate Prarabdha Karmeti Viroti Vedaha. O holy name, the Vedas declare that meditation on the impersonal Brahman cannot bring freedom from karmic reactions. They must be suffered or enjoyed or suffered. But then when you manifest in one's consciousness, all karma at once disappears. Agatamana Yashoda Nananao Nandasuno Kamalanayana Gopi Chandra Vrindavanendra Pranata Karuna Krishna Vityanika Swarupe Twai Mamaratir Uchair Vardatam Namateya. O holy name, you have many forms such as Agadamana, crusher of Agasura, Yashoda Nandana, darling child of Yashoda, Nandasuno, son of Nanda, Kamalanayana, lotus-eyed one, Gopi Chandra, moon of the gopis, Vrindavanendra, king of Vrindavan, Pranata Karuna, he who is merciful to the surrendered souls, and Krishna, I pray that my love for you in your many forms may greatly increase. Vacham vachakamityudeti bhavato nama swarupadvayam purvasmat parameva hanta karan. How long are we borrowing everybody for? 15, 20 minutes. It has to be now, right in the middle of the class? It has to be now, right? Because it has to be out there soon, right now. All right, just make it fast. It's vacham vachakamityudeti bhavato nama swarupadvayam. Purvasmat parameva hanta karunam tatrapi jani mehe. Yastasmin vihita parabdha nivaha prani samantad bhaved. Asyenidam upasya sopihi sadanandam bujao majjati. You'll be interested to know the word majjati means plunges. O holy name, you manifest two forms, the supreme person you designate and the sound vibration that designates. We know that the second form is more merciful than the first because even if a person offends your first form in many ways, you plunge him into an ocean of transcendental bliss if he serves your second form with his voice. This is very inspiring, isn't it? Because whatever situation I'm in now, due to my rebellion against Krishna, he's extended himself to me personally in the form of his holy name. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is saying that Krishna is non-different from his name, but there is a difference, that he's even more merciful in his name, because wherever I am, whatever situation I'm in, if I chant his holy name, Majjati, Saranandam Bujao Majjati, I can be plunged into the ocean of bliss. Last night during the Harinam, we saw not only the devotees. I was watching the devotees. Some of them just went into ecstasy and started dancing. You can't dance like that without being in ecstasy. Prabhupada used to say that they dance out of ecstasy. It's true. Like I was watching Srinivas last night. He just went into ecstasy. Was spinning and had his hands in the air. He was so happy. And then the other people who come along too, and they saw us, like particularly when we were up at the very end in that next to that fancy restaurant, we went into that like as a pagoda structure, and we had this it was quite an enthusiastic kirtan inside there, and people came rushing out to see what it was, And the looks on their faces, they were just amazed. And I think the highlight of the night was that there was a father and son. The son must have been about 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8. And he became glued to the kirtan. And he wouldn't let his father go. And he made his father follow the kirtan all the way around the block for 45 minutes. And every time his father wanted to go, his son was absolutely glued to the kirtan all the way through. And he took several books, made his father put them in the bag. And at the end, he came up, he wanted to shake hands. So, I shook his hand. But some of the devotees commented afterwards that he appeared to be a soul who had just been waiting to hear the holy name. You saw him?
I thought he was someone that was part of our group.
Yeah. Well, he definitely is. He just didn't know it until last night. But that's the way it works. You know, people don't know they're a part of the group until they hear the holy name. Krishna extends himself, to those special souls. Well, he extends himself to everyone. Even those who as this beginning verse says, Twamanararadapi managu diritam Nikilogra tapa putta limba limpasi, that he, even for someone who disrespects the holy name or just says it, oh, Hare Krishna. Like we heard people, one group of women walked by last night, and as they did, I overheard them say, Hare Krishna. They said, oh, this used to be popular. She was explaining it to a friend from out of town who was younger or something like that. Who was saying, what is this? And he said, oh yeah, this used to be really popular a long time ago. This Hare Krishna. And, so she says Hare Krishna in a way. And then other people might come by and say, oh, Hare Krishna is, even in a disrespectful way, like Hare Krishna is, when you get out of here. So this verse says, Nikilogra tapa patalimva limpasi. Even such a person, if they disrespectfully say the name, they get the benefit. And then there are those who already have previous lives experience, and they're like powder kegs waiting to go off because they have so much sukriti. And then when they meet the Harinam party, like that young boy did last night, then he just comes alive and he'll want to become part of it. Majjati plunges. Saranandam Bhutau Majjati means we're plunged in the ocean of bliss. Now, according to Shastra, if I'm not plunged into an ocean of bliss when I chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what is the problem? What could be the cause of that? Do you suppose? Yes. Yeah, offenses. Thinking offenselessly, or if you're committing offenses. So there are 10 offenses in the matter of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And those should be studied carefully. And so avoiding Jiva Goswami says, practicing bhakti is not so difficult, but avoiding offenses is. And we must live proactively in that way to actually do the opposite. In other words, what is the first offense in chanting the holy name of the Lord? That's the 11th offense, which is the root cause of all the other offenses. But the first offense listed is blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagation of the holy name all over the world. So vilifying devotees. So what's the opposite of vilifying devotees? Glorifying devotees, right? So not that I should just be neutral, but if I go out of my way to use my tongue and my senses to glorify devotees, and I get in that habit, then that's like pouring milk into a bottle of into a glass of ink. If you have a glass of ink and you pour in milk, the more you pour, then the ink will go out and the milk will replace it. So any kind of offensive habit I have or tendency, natural tendency is in the material world, for envy. Envy resides within the heart. And then criticism, pernicious kinds of criticism, means it comes out on the tongue. And then it's very harmful. Then there's possibility of making aparad. So Vaishnava aparadha is very dangerous. It carries over from one life to another. So if someone is in a situation where it's very difficult to chant the holy name of the Lord, even this, according to Shastras, because of offenses, previous offenses, or present offenses that I may be committing. And we should review the 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord and live a life of vigilance in carefully avoiding those offenses. And then, naturally, the holy name will be pleased with us and manifest on our tongues, and mujjati means we'll be merged into the ocean of ananda when chanting the holy name of the Lord. So this is the reason given in Shastra. The heart is steel-framed. It doesn't change when I'm practicing the process of chanting Hare Krishna. I should check and see what kinds of offenses are there. Text number 7. Sudita Shrita Janarti Rashaye. Do you see where we are, Prashant? Okay. Ramya Chit Ghana Sukha Swarupine. Nama Gokula Mahotsavayate. Krishna Purna Vapushe Namo Namaha. O holy name, altogether, you destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. You are the very form of concentrated spiritual bliss, a festival of happiness for Gokula, and the perfect and complete form of Lord Krishna. Again and again, I bow to you. Narada Vino Jivana Sudormi Nirasa Madhuripura Tam Krishna Namakamam Spurame Rasane Rasena Sada. O enlivener of Narada's Vina, O flood of the waves of sweet nectar, O holy name of Lord Krishna, please forever manifest on my tongue with all your nectarian sweetness. Shri Namashtakam Ki Jai, Shri Rupa Goswami Ki Jai, Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo. Any points or questions about the Namashtakam? Or about chanting the holy names? Yes.
If somebody is making Vaishnava aparadha, but at the same time they're chanting, does that person get any mercy for chanting? Like somebody walking by and kind of jeering at the devotees and making fun of them, and at the same time saying Hare Krishna, and look at the Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's a little different than Vaishnava aparadha, and we should talk about that. Vaishnava aparadha requires some malice. Now, if somebody's ignorant and they're walking by and they see the devotees, and sort of out of a feeling of embarrassment or something like that, they say, oh, those are rascal Hare Krishnas or something like that, they get a benefit called namabhas, because they're chanting the holy name without knowing that they're saying it in order to become free from any sins, and they don't have knowledge of what they're doing. Really, they're considered to be ignorant. Vaishnava aparadha means that I develop some kind of an envy towards devotees or malice. Devotees aren't very easily offended, actually. They don't take offense, but Srimad Bhagavatam describes how the dhulis, or the personified foot dust of the Vaishnavas, takes offense. And that reaction can be there for some time. So there are degrees, and it really depends upon one's state of heart when one makes that, and also one's situation and knowledge of what one's doing. So Vaishnava aparadha means that one develops a habit through bad association of expressing envy towards devotees, or trying to criticize devotees when actually there's so many good things to say, you can always find something good to say. Didn't your, you know, mother or some, you know, person tell you that sometime, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it at all? It's a good rule to practice. And especially when we do have to criticize, in other words, if we have to correct somebody, say if you're in charge of helping somebody to come up in devotional service and you have to offer some kind of criticism for what they just did, there are ways to do it, recommended by Krishna, for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says the austerity of speech is that it should be satyam, truthful, priya, pleasing, and hitam, which means beneficial. And if you're saying it in that way and you're doing it to correct somebody, then it's not piercing. It said that a spear can pierce the body, but harsh words out of envy, they can pierce the heart, which is much more dangerous, actually. So it's a matter of envy coming out from the heart and criticizing someone. Nature of the material world is, instead of me trying to give up bad habits and elevate myself, it's easier for me to criticize others who are making advancement. And there's Prabhupada used to say that people don't like, who are envious, don't like to see other people advancing. There's a story about two neighborhood kids who grew up. Well, three neighborhood kids who grew up. One of them became a high court judge. So the other two are talking about the other one. One says, "Did you hear that, you know, Dilip became a high court judge?" And the other one says, "No way. No way he became a high court judge." He said, no, he's a high court judge. I heard about it." And he said, "No, I don't believe it." He said, "I just saw him. I was down at the courthouse and I saw he's sitting on the bench and he's using the gavel and he's giving sentences." And the other friend says, "Yeah, but he's probably not getting paid." So, you know, there's always a way to drag down. And Prabhupada used to point out that whereas honeybees, they seek, you know, honey, the flies, they seek the sores. So a low-class consciousness is that, you know, I find the fault rather than the good quality. So this is the tendency of, if I'm weak and I'm envious, then I'll want to drag others down or find the part that wasn't quite up to the quality. But this, on the spiritual side, I look for what the good is, where there actually is some quality that I can praise. And in that, there's actually advancement for me. This is called grinanti. Grinanti means that if I see good in others in their devotional practice, and I glorify that, or I appreciate it, then I actually come up to that position just by appreciating what's in others. Dainiti Prabhu?
I was going
to say there's a black maxima right there. That's really, like, not parked. Black maxima is parked improperly outside. So if you're within earshot of this, please move your black maxima.
Sorry.
So this is chanting Hare Krishna means that we should regulate ourselves, especially in the beginning when we don't have a taste, to chant a certain amount of rounds every day. And even when we do, then of course it won't be so difficult, you know, to achieve a certain number of rounds every day. And we should also vigilantly avoid offenses, and even beyond that, avoiding offenses, as we should proactively avoid them by doing the positive. For instance, if vilifying devotees is an offense, we should endeavor to glorify devotees, etc. And we can look at each one of the offenses in that way. One of the other offenses, maintaining material desires, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So, what's the proactive side of that? If maintaining material desires, even after understanding many instructions on the matter, is the prohibition, what's the proactive side? Doing service and having desire for service. Nice. Any other ideas? If I'm maintaining material desires, huh? What? Having desire for service. Positive. Maintain a desire for service. It's a good idea. Yes. Yeah. And well, let's keep using the microphone, too, because it's being broadcast. So serving. And also, there's a way in which I should carefully observe my own heart and see, what am I maintaining there? And I can ask Krishna for help. In other words, if I'm maintaining some material desire, then I can ask Krishna, please help remove this anartha, this desire. Because he will. And I can tell if I'm maintaining a material desire in this way. If I notice it's there, for instance, I have an attachment to some material thing, that means some, you know, forbidden kind of activity, then if I know that if I bring it out and I say, Krishna, please remove this, that he'll remove it, and then I don't bring it out because I know he'll remove it, that's called maintaining material desires, even after understanding so many instructions in the matter. In other words, I keep it in a little box behind me, and I think, I know it's in there, but I don't want to open the box and expose it to the daylight and show everybody and say, you know, Krishna, please take this away from my life, because then it'll be gone, and I want to keep it. But if we carefully cultivate the habit of asking Krishna, even if I don't have the desire to bring it out, to develop the desire to bring it out, then going in that way, we'll be able to clearly see what these what desires we're maintaining and to be able to remove them. This is important in the process of surrender and the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Another point?
No, just one other question. And that would be that... you know, if one has a strong attachment to some material desire and he's asked Krishna to remove that material desire and it seems to still be there, then is it because he doesn't really want to renounce the desire? Or is it a, you know, I mean, we talk about a gradual process, you know. I mean, you know, we have to take one step towards Krishna, and Krishna takes, you know, 10 or 100 or 1,000 towards us. So it's like we make an attempt to give up a material desire. We ask Krishna, please help us to give up our attachments. But then, you know, Krishna can obviously award us, you know, to become desireless for that attachment. But, you know, in our heart, we really have to want to give it up, or Krishna's not going to do it, is he? I mean, you know, there's a fine line.
You meet halfway. And that's brought out in the story of Mother Yashoda, that when she went to bind Lord Krishna after he broke the butter pot and ran away, then she thought, I'm gonna tie him up. This is enough, you know. And so she started chasing him, and she finally caught him. And then she was binding him, and she was getting different lengths of rope or ribbon and everything that she could to put together. And every time she'd get another length of it, even neighbors were passing over the fence, here, take some more. And still it was 2 inches too short. Now, she was perspiring when she did it. I mean, she was trying really hard. Now, who can bind Krishna, right? So then Krishna allowed her, seeing her endeavor. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, those 2 inches that was too short, that gap was closed 1 inch because of Mother Yashoda's endeavor. The second inch was because of Krishna's mercy. So both have to be there. And the principle of Utsahan Nischaya Dharya. Dharya means patience. These are listed by Rupa Goswami. There are 6 items that are especially important for advancing in devotional service. In fact, if you adhere to these, you'll definitely advance in devotional service. Utsahan, enthusiasm, nischaya, dharya, determination and patience. Then he goes on from there, tat tat karma pavartanat, following the rules and regulations according to how they've been given. Sangatyaga, giving up bad association. Stovrete, shadbir bhakti vrinash, prasidyati. Utsahan, nischaya, dharyat, tat tat karma pravartana sangha tyaga satovrite. Satovrite means? Pardon?
In association devotees.
So dharyat means this patience, and things ripen on the vine in their own time according to the season, and you know, you can't rush it. And similarly, our devotional practice is like that too. And in due course of time, as we continue, Krishna will remove our anartas in miraculous ways. We can help ourselves by doing that, but we should put half our endeavor and half we'll see Krishna's special mercy.
So, you know, with this confidence, we talk about confidence. That's also one of the qualities that we're supposed to develop. So we should be confident that Krishna will bless us, that Krishna will help us. Yeah. If we don't, if we're not confident that Krishna will do this, then that's also, you know, a lack of faith.
That's true. And confidence is something that develops over time in a relationship. Like, who do you have confidence in? Okay. Well, then, you know, how did it happen? If you have confidence in a certain person, it happens over time. You see, you know, person shows up, and you know it over 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year. And after a while, you start thinking, I know they're going to be there for me, you know? You just know it because this consistency over time breeds confidence, breeds faith. That's in a relationship. Any relationship we have with anyone. So with Krishna, it's the same thing. Over time, as we, you know, it's not just that we develop our faith in Krishna. It's also that Krishna develops faith in us, too. It's a relationship. You know, when we show our, right? Because, you know, why is he reluctant to give pure devotional service? You know, I mean, he's giving himself. That means, you know, he's completely giving himself to the devotee. So who do you give yourself to? You know, only people you see over time that you can really trust that you have this intimate kind of relationship with. So this confidence takes time to develop. And if I'm endeavoring for it, if I'm doing my part in trying to surrender, going through the process of surrender, and how does that begin? Accepting things that are favorable, rejecting things that are unfavorable. There is, like everyone knows physically, everyone should know by now, that physically if you exercise, you know, your muscles will get stronger and more resilient. Isn't it? If you start an exercise regimen tomorrow, you'll know that, you know, in a few months that there's going to be some changes in your body and your muscles will get stronger. That's how they work. So there's also a decision muscle that we have. This is a key point, because we have to make decisions. Just like when you wake up in the morning, say you use an alarm clock to wake up, right? And the alarm clock goes off at 4 a.m. Then there's a decision muscle which comes into play. And it really is like this, because if you make that muscle strong, like if the alarm goes off, I get up. That's what I do. You know, after a while, you become so strong at it, that muscle is there. And there are a lot of decisions that come up. Am I going to go this way or go that way? And by hearing Shastra, by having good association, by, you know, knowing what the right thing to do, and then I start doing it. And just like with exercise, you can't go and you know, lift the bull off the ground. But if you go pick up a little calf every day, after a while, Prabhupada said that. He said with exercise, you know, you can't lift the bull, but if you pick up the calf, you know, and then, you know, after a while, maybe you could lift the bull. So similarly with our devotional practice, you know, do the little things. Every little decision I make affects everything else that happens in my life. Every discipline that I take up, it affects every other discipline in my life. And Krishna says that I eternally am situated in acts of sacrifice. And so we can find Krishna in that. We'll actually experience him for ourselves when we exercise our decision muscle. We decide to, you know, chant with attention, for instance. It may be difficult. It is difficult because the mind wants to go all over the universe, every other place except on the Maha Mantra some days. And so I make my decision that I'm going to follow Shastra. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita when you meditate? Wherever the mind goes, just bring it back. It's like, okay, this morning I'm bringing it back, bringing it back, bringing it back. And you practice. And after a while, that muscle gets developed and gets strong. And it's a question of mercy also, because there's a taste. Yat pada pankacha balasya vilasya bhaktya, vilasa bhaktya. Karmashayam gratitam utkartayanti santa. Tadvanda rikta matayo yatayo pishado. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that the shrotoganas, that there's waves of material sense enjoyment that come to us due to our past bad habits and involvement in the material world. It comes in waves, very strong stream of sense enjoyment. And only those who are getting a taste for Krishna's yat pada pankaja palasha vilasa bhakti, only those who are getting a taste for the flavor of service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna's lotus feet can actually overcome those waves. So we also get that special mercy from Krishna. We'll experience something that's so nice, it's so tasty, we'll remember it. Just like we remember sense gratification. We'll start filling up our senses with experiences that are so profound in devotional service. Like last night, the Harinam Sankirtan was so pleasing. Raksha Jariwala Prabhu was dancing off the ground, which always makes me so happy. I saw Srinivas Prabhu just going, you know, he was going mad with chanting Hare Krishna and the other devotees. And there's a point at which where you just can't contain yourself. It's so nice. It's beyond words. It's this, you know, the power of Krishna's name and the ecstasy of being with the devotees who are, you know, then, you know, that experience is in there. When you go to Vrindavan and you go in a parikram, for instance, I like to go to Govardhan Hill. It's no secret. I can't hide it. But I like to go to Govardhan Hill and walk around the hill. And I don't know what it is. It's hard to understand for me, but it's pleasing. It's so pleasing that you just can't get it out of your mind. And that goes in. And there are all these processes of devotional service that we perform that in the beginning, they may not be completely sweet and you know, from beginning to end, but we may get a glimpse, and that's enough. It's like one little drop. I saw in the Bhakti Shastri exams that Srivas Pandit Prabhu had put a comment in by Hanumat Preshek Swami about bathing in Radhakund. It says if you bathe in Radhakund, you get pure love of God. And lots of devotees go there. It's like, I bathed in Radhakund. I didn't get pure love of God. What's the matter? <You know? laughs> And he says, no, you bathe in Radhakund and maybe like one drop you know, of this water that's actually from the spiritual world, it may splash on you. This idea is there that we're performing all these activities in a regulated way, and what will happen is one little drop by Krishna's mercy may touch us, you know, from seeing the deity, from chanting Hare Krishna, from going to the Dham, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one verse, one line, anything, that impression, it's so powerful, it's from the spiritual world, that impression goes in, and those all add up. Those create this kind of a bhava, this feeling that comes into the heart. And ultimately, what this verse says, yat pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitam utkartayanti santa tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo pisadho. Are you on that verse? Did you find it, Vipul? You didn't find it. Yat pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashayam gratitam utkartayanti santa tadvanda rikta matayo yatayo pisado shroto ganas tam abaran bhajavasudevam. This verse is saying that that only those who are experiencing this very intoxicating nectar of the lotus feet of Krishna can actually overcome the waves of sense gratification in the material world. Others cannot. It's in relationship to the four Kumaras who were perfected in Brahman realization. They were equipoised. They had nothing to do with this material world. If you showed them gold pebbles or stones, they don't see the difference. They're not like, oh, there's gold, give me that. There's no interest in the material world whatsoever. But when they went to Vaikuntha and they smelled the fragrance, the breeze there that came, that touched the lotus feet of the Lord, they became so intoxicated by it that then they came to the highest realization, which was bhakti, or devotional service to Krishna. Page 217. Thank you very much. This is a very, very important verse. Yet pada punkacha palasha vilasa bhaktya. So it's a subtle thing, devotional service. We were talking about this the other night in the Bhagavad Gita class. Krishna's love is so powerful that when we connect to that, it washes away any of these, ultimately, proclivities that we have for enjoyment in the material world. And this bhakti path, therefore, is said, Kirata hunanda pulinda pulkasha bhirashumba yavana kasaraya yene cha papa yara pasha yashaya shudyanti tasmai pravavishnave namaha. Because of the power of Lord Vishnu, that anyone from any position in life can become completely purified. One may have terrible samskaras from previous life, but by the power of devotional service, one can be completely rectified. Not just rectified, but also put on the positive path of devotional service. So all this takes place by the chanting of the holy name. We can imbibe this faith by practicing it ourselves and studying the science of chanting, hearing these shlokas from the Shikshashtakam given to us from the ecstasies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Shikshashtakam, you know where it appears? Does everybody know where it appears in the Shastra? Where does the Shikshashtakam come in our books? Where in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? That's right. Antyalila, last chapter of the Antyalila. This, as you go through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Antyalila is, Mahaprabhu just becomes unglued. You know, beginning Lila, he's in family life, he's a child, and he's in householder life. Then he takes sannyas, but then he's preaching, he's traveling here or there, speaking philosophy and everything like that. Last part of his life, unglued. I mean, his limbs are being extended. They're going back in his body like a pumpkin or like a tortoise. And, you know, mad ramblings of, you know, ecstasy. They're symptoms of the highest kind of devotional service. And in that mad ecstasy, he's speaking the Shikshashtakam. This is how it's captured, actually, and it's just been encapsulated in this progression. But it's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are expressions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So studying those in relationship to chanting the holy name of the Lord, and these verses from Rupa Goswami, making it a center point of our life. Harinam, 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 eva kevalam, kalo nasdevana, stevana, steva, gatiranyata. I mukta kalera pasimanam, all the liberated souls, that's what they do. They chant Hare Krishna. So I should too. Okay. So let's look at the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're on the second verse of the 11th chapter, which is conveniently written on the board by our very own Vipul Prabhu, has written the verse. If you can't see it, okay. Sa uchakashe davalo daro daro sa uchakashe davalo daro daro sa uchakashe davalo daro daro api Urukramasya Adarshona Shonima Pyarukramasya Dara Shona Shonima Pyarukramasya Dara Shona Shonima Pyarukramasya Dara Shona Shonima Tadma Yamanaha Karakanja Sampate Karakanja Sampute Tadma Yamanar Karakanja Sampute Tadma Yamana Karakanja Sampute Yata Abjakande Kalahangsa Utswanaha Yatabjakande Kalahangsa Utswanaha Yatabjakande Kalahangsa Utswanaha Sa uchakashe davalo daro daro Pyarukramasya dara shona shonima Tadma yamana karakanja sampute Yathabjakande kalahangsa utswanaha Sa uchakashe davalo daro daro Pyarukramasya dara shona shonima Tadma yamana karakanja sampute Yathabjakande kalahangsa utswanaha
Sa uchakashe davalo daro daro
Pyarukramasya dara shona shonima
Tadma
yamana karakanja sampute Yathabjakande kalahamsa utswanaha
Sa uchase davala daro daro
Sa uchakashe davalo daro daro
Ukarakamasya darasona sonima
Pyarukramasya darasona sonima
Dharmayamana karakanja sampute
Dharmayamana karakanja sampute
Yathabjakande kalahamsa utswanaha
Yathabjakande kalahamsa utswanaha
Sa uchakase dhavala dharo dharo
Sa uchakase dhavalo dharo dharo
Pyarukramasya dharasona sonima
Pyarukramasya dharasona sonima
Dadyamaya mana karakanja sampute
Dadmaya mana karakanja sampute
Yathabjakande kalahamsa utsana
Yathabjakande kalahamsa utsanaha
Sa uchakase davala daro daro
Sa uchakase davalo daro daro
Pyarukramasya darasona sonima
Pyarukramasya darasona sonima
Dadmayamana karakanja sampute
Dadmayamana karakanpate
Yathabjakande kalahamsa utsvanaha
Yathabjakande kalahamsa utsvanaha
Sauchakashe davalo daro daro.
Sauchakashe davalo daro daro.
Apyurukramasya darashona shonima.
Kerukramasya darashona shonima.
Dadmayamana karakanja sampute.
Dadmayamana karakanja sampute.
Yetabja kande kalahamsa utsvanaha.
Yetabja kande kalahamsa utsvanaha. Anybody else want to try?
Sauchakase davalo daro daro.
Sauchakase davalo daro daro.
Piyurukramasya dharashona shonima.
Kerukramasya dharashona shonima.
Dadmayamanah karakanja sampute.
Dadmayamanah karakanja sampute.
Yathabja khande kalahamsa utsvanaha.
Yathabja khande kalahamsa saha. That Uchakashe became brilliant. Davala udaraha, white and fat boweled. Daraha, conch shell. Api, although it is so. Arukramasya, of the great adventurer. Adarashona, by the transcendental quality of his lips. Shonima, reddened. Dadmayamanaha, being sounded. Karakanja sampute, being caught by the grip of the lotus hand. Yata, as it is. Abjakande, by the stems of lotus flowers. Kalahangsaha, ducking swan. Utswanaha, loudly sounding. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The white and fat boweled conch shell, being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. Hare Krishna. Purport. The redness of the white conch shell due to the lip touch of the Lord is a symbol of spiritual significance. The Lord is all spirit, and matter is ignorance of this spiritual existence. Factually, there is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment, and this spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The Lord is present in every particle of all existence, and he can manifest his presence in anyone. By ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord. And the Paramahamsa, or the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's feet. We'll take a vote. Do you want to hear the verse and purport again? Okay. Hare Krishna. The white and fat-boweled conch shell, being gripped by the hand of Lord Krishna and sounded by him, appeared to be reddened by the touch of his transcendental lips. It seemed that a white swan was playing in the stems of red lotus flowers. Purport. The redness of the white conch shell due to the lip touch of the Lord is a symbol of spiritual significance. The Lord is all spirit, and matter is ignorance of this spiritual existence. Factually, there is nothing like matter in spiritual enlightenment, and this spiritual enlightenment takes place at once by the contact of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. The Lord is present in every particle of all existence, and he can manifest his presence in anyone. By ardent love and devotional service to the Lord, or in other words, by spiritual contact with the Lord, everything becomes spiritually reddened like the conch shell in the grip of the Lord. And the Paramahamsa, or the supremely intelligent person, plays the part of the ducking swan
in the water of spiritual bliss, eternally decorated by the lotus flower of the Lord's lotus feet. That's what you're going to be distributing today. Somebody's in there watching cartoons and then they get this. Om Gyanatimadandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, 10 more minutes. I know it's seems like we're starting Srimad Bhagavatam class late, but really we haven't been wasting time. We've been in here enjoying reading Rama Samhita and other things. It just came out like this. This verse is an example of the unparalleled poetry of Prabhupada's translations and purports. They're like no other. And you can look the world around. You can go to the in Vrindavan, there's a place called Bihari Lal's down in Lohi Bazaar where you can go upstairs and they have every book that's published in the devotional world nowadays, and there are a lot of them. I mean, there are lots of people translating shastras and things like that. But the quality of Srila Prabhupada's books and his purports, due to his personal touch, which includes the fact that in order to produce a book like this, it requires a team. Prabhupada had a team that he worked with to come out with these books. He, by his potency, attractive potency, many young people like Pradyumna came forward to help Srila Prabhupada in the Sanskrit translations. Pradyumna didn't know Sanskrit when he first came and met Srila Prabhupada, but somehow he took an interest, he had a proclivity towards it, and he started translating the Brahma Samhita, and he brought some of the pages to Prabhupada. We didn't have Brahma Samhita back then. I remember when it was coming out. It came out in sections, and we'd get to a certain point. I can even remember where I was when we got Ramadi Murti Shukala. I was in Chicago in the temple, and I got it like, wow, look at this. It was coming out in sections. But that's how it went from the very beginning. And Pradyumna came forward, and Prabhupada encouraged him, and under his merciful watch, he flourished. And you know, he was able, to the very end, you'll see pictures of Prabhupada and Pradyumna. Jayadvaita Maharaj was holding the dictaphone above Prabhupada's mouth when Prabhupada was on his bed that he left this world from, and he was emaciated. He wasn't taking any food. Jayadvaita Maharaj says, this is the editing team. They're all there getting every last word from Prabhupada as he's speaking these things. And there was a whole crew of devotees that had worked together to put together Prabhupada's books according to his instructions. It's not easy, you know, 1,000-page book, including like the Bhagavad Gita as it is that we have, that has a 120-page index and so much Sanskrit and all kinds of things. It takes a lot of work to get that right. And Prabhupada specifically, he told Pradyumna, he said he didn't want any mistakes in his books. He said if there's one mistake, it ruins the whole book. He said it murders the whole book. So they were on, you know, extremely vigilant to make sure there weren't mistakes in the English and, you know, everything was put together right. So, and it's a miracle how Prabhupada brought that all together. As we've said before, try producing one pamphlet or one poster, and it takes a lot of work. What to speak of a whole series of books that Prabhupada did, and the style and the way that they came out. Each verse, I mean, you can live on this verse practically. It's so beautiful and so deep. And one of the things Prabhupada's saying here is about the spiritual touch. It has nothing to do with matter. And as an example, when we worship the deity, from a scientific point of view, someone could argue, well, the deity is made of marble. This deity is made of wood. But we're not worshiping wood, and we're not worshiping marble. We are worshiping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a science to it, and it's a science of devotion, how we're worshiping the deity. And as we do, as we, for instance, if you bring water to the deity with tulsi leaves and you do it out of devotion, it takes some vigilance, you know, every day to go get the cups, take them off. There may be so many other things to do, but we do that out of devotion for the Lord. And we're thinking, the Lord's like a glass of water. I mean, he does ask for water in the Bhagavad Gita specifically, right? Patram pushpam palam toyam. Anybody can get water. I mean, that's the idea. You can get water anywhere practically. But if you offer to Krishna with devotion, there's an exchange. Because if you bring it, and also putting tulsi leaves means you have to cultivate a tulsi plant. Tulsi is very powerful. If we hear the prayers that we sing to tulsi, and we should do that together. We should institute, now tulsi's here, beautiful tulsi, that we should have a tulsi puja together sometime regularly. But if we hear those prayers that we're singing to tulsi, she fulfills all the desires of the devotee. She takes the devotee back to Godhead. Anything you want in devotional service is rewarded by Tulsi Devi. So you're cultivating a tulsi plant, and that takes time and effort, doesn't it? To cultivate tulsi, you have to protect her, you have to keep her warm, you have to water her, you know, and that's devotional. By that activity, then you bring the tulsi leaf and you put it in the water and you bring it to Krishna and you put it on his altar that's been duly cleansed and make sure it's clean. There's an exchange. Krishna reveals himself that he's not wood, he's not metal, he's not just paint. He's actually there. He's in the deity. And he reveals himself in his own way. And it's profound, and it's something that's, it has nothing to do with matter. It's not a matter of mental adjustment that, oh yeah, it's direct. It's within the heart. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. It's directly perceived by the servitor who's serving the Lord. And that's why so many people are serving the Lord. I mean, the number of devotees just in ISKCON around the world who are engaged in deity worship, they're not fools. You know, there are highly educated, intelligent people who have other things to do as well, but they'd rather do that. Why? Because Krishna is reciprocating with them within the heart and revealing himself to those devotees. So the science of devotion is natural. It's the natural inclination of a living entity to engage in Krishna's worship. And under proper guidance of shastra, of guidance of sadhus and guru, to walk that path of devotional service, especially one will become successful if one does it properly, under the proper guidance. Kavi Yogendra says in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, someone who walks on this path of bhakti marg, even if his eyes are closed, he could be blind, and he won't trip and fall. After all, look at what Krishna says in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Near the end, api chet sudaracharo bhajate mama nanyabak. He doesn't just say that the faults of my devotees should be overlooked. Is that what he says in Apichet Sudaracharo? Does he say, the faults of my devotees, whoever they are, should be overlooked? Is that the mood he says it in? No. It's beyond even that. He says, even if they commit the most abominable actions, if they're engaged in devotional service, they have to be considered sadhus. This is Krishna's heart. This is how Krishna interacts with his devotees. This is why bhakti is so powerful. Because Krishna means that his love is so pervasive and is so powerful that someone who approaches him on this mark in the proper way, through the proper channel, can't help but be swept away and captured by the power of the influence of Krishna's love, which is exchanged with his devotees. And there are so many stimuli for this kind of love when the devotees come in contact. And And as is mentioned here in this verse, how the devotees in Dwarka, how they're, I mean, this poetry is recalling how Krishna is just blowing his conch shell. And just the act of Krishna blowing the conch shell, hearing the sound of the conch shell, and the beauty of Krishna's hand on the conch shell stimulates the devotees to no end. It's something that someone can meditate on and be absorbed in till the end of time. There are descriptions in the Shastra, for instance, in the Nectar Devotion, of Krishna's bodily characteristics. And he has a reddish luster in various places on his body. How many? 24 places? The Gayatri Mantra, the Kama Gayatri Mantra, 24 and a half syllables. And each syllable is a description of a different moon on the body of on Krishna's body. You know, his forehead is a moon. His face is a moon. His toes are like moons. These are all the attractive qualities of Krishna. So as one approaches Krishna in any way, through his paraphernalia, through his service in the authorized way, then these stimuli come to bear within one's heart and mind and capture one's attention. And through that, as I invoked the verse earlier, yat pada pankacha palasha vilasa bhaktya karmashrayam gratitam udgratayanti santa. This verse indicates that the devotees are so captivated by the luster of Krishna's lotus feet, which means everything about him, that they can overcome shroto ganas. There's a waves of material existence that wash away even ordinary yogis who mechanically try to control their minds. But for the devotees, because they're captivated by the luster of Krishna's lotus feet, due to an exchange of love with Krishna, they become swept away by another kind of wave, which is Krishna's special love and mercy. So, by engaging in Krishna's direct service through deity worship, this is especially recommended because it's so personal. All the paraphernalia that we collect, I was just talking to Hansapriya yesterday about, we've been talking about all the ways that we can increase the standard of deity worship here, and one of them is to get nicer things for Krishna. I mean, we can get the nicest things in the world and offer them to Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada told us don't buy gold and silver because in Kali Yuga, you know, you put that on the deities and then it'll attract thieves. That's the nature of Kali Yuga. And you know, in this age, admittedly, you know, Harinam is the Yuga Dharma. It's not deity worship. But still, we've been given deity worship and do it as nicely as possible. We were talking about how she was shopping in Vrindavan for clothes for the Lord. And then at Nandakishore Mukutwala, it was one of the popular places in Lomi Bazaar, somehow or other, she saw some of the jewelry and clothes that were being made for some other yatra, which was in a much higher quality than they're bringing out for other people. And she'd say, hey, wait a minute. What are you hiding from us? We want that. You know, we want the better stuff. And that's the, you know, for the devotees, they're absorbed in this kind of devotion, that they want the good stuff for Krishna. You know, in that kind of exchange of looking what's better, how to make it better. Last night also, I was thinking at the Harinam, watching how all the devotees were converging on that corner, and the process took place. First we went to Cowper, and as a Cowper is, you know, a dark hole in the universe somewhere. And then we started looking for some other place, and we found, oh, well, this is better, you know, for the yajna. And then all the devotees were on their phones. They were telling everybody, come here, come here. And then when the devotees started showing up, everyone has their job. You know, everyone's doing something, and it's a symphony of devotees doing devotional service, bringing in their talents. And, you know, I was thinking last night, I was looking, there's so many room for improvement, but then I thought, what we have now achieved through step-by-step-by-step improvement in bringing together that Harinam over so many years, it's amazing, actually, to get a group of people from all over Silicon Valley most of whom are just coming from work. They've been working all day long. You know, they have children to maintain. There's all kinds of things, but they all come, and they want to be there. And I watched how the devotees come in, and, it, you know, as soon as a new devotee comes in, everyone's hugging them. You know, they're happy to see them. They're happy to be there. And then the chanting, I can't go on enough about the Harinam last night, but it was off the ground. At one point when we snuck into the bank, you know, we go into those little enclaves where the sound is, it's hilarious. I don't know what people think when they're driving by. It must just blow their minds, you know, and it's almost symbolic because here's this bank, you know, which is everyone's looking at the banks like, I hate you guys. You know, you took all my money. You know, you don't care about me. And we're in there, Hare Krishna. You know, it's kind of like they're going, yeah. You know? And the sound coming out of that bank, you know, when we were on the side there, I looked out and I can't get it out of my mind how Srinivas Palipu was going crazy. You know, he was just in ecstasy dancing. I was so happy because, you know, sometimes I'm, you know, I want to see him satisfied. And it's, you know, and when he's dancing like that, and I thought, God, seeing Srinivas satisfied and happy, now I feel really happy. And there's a kind of ecstasy in that, you know, it all comes out in the devotional service of the Lord. And it's purposeful, you know, we're all coming down there to do that. And we're coming together to worship the deities. You know, it's hard where to put all their stuff. We don't have any place to put all their stuff, you know, but we're trying and we you know, we do everything we can. And at home, you know, how to get everything to work, you know, so you can do your devotional service and chant your 16 rounds. It's not easy. Last night, Hiral came up, and she was almost crying because she saw that some people had thrown books away. She'd never seen that before. I've seen it a lot. I've seen people buy a book and come back and rip it up in front of me. So, it you know, maybe I'm jaded, you know, but it was charming, actually, to see. She came over. She had 9 books out of the 180 we distributed. She went in every garbage can and found someone threw it away. She's like, how can anybody throw this away? You know? And, you know, so these are all things connected with the devotional service of the Lord that, you know, talking about here, when the conch shell is blown, there's an exchange. There's a, you know, it's Krishna. He's there. He's present. And in all our activities, as Prabhupada said in this purport, he's in every atom. He's all pervasive. And when you do the yajna, when you do the worship, he comes out. He's there already, but we'll experience it through that exchange. So bhakti is the supreme path, and following bhakti under the guidance of the 6 Goswamis, who are under the guidance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the way down through our chain, properly like this, it works. And it works every single time. In every time, every place, in every circumstance, it works. So we should work it. And utilize this life step by step, by degrees, as much as possible, full absorption, and then go back home, back to Godhead. Go premanande adi adi vol. Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai, monthly Sankirtan festival, 20,000 Ki Jai. And now we're going to put all the books away and have Guru Puja because I'm already 5 minutes late. And then we're going to have prasadam. We'll have a shorter kirtan today, and we'll have prasadam right at 10:30, 10:29, 59 seconds. And then we would like a bias towards action today, because if we take prasadam and then concentrate on just getting out, then we'll get an extra maybe even hour and a half, 2 hours on our door-to-door attack today. And if we keep that in our minds that we're going to take prasadam and then go straight out, then I think we'll have a big day. Thank you very much. Go Premanandi Haribol.